Well, good afternoon. My name is John Vegan, minister at the Costa Mesa Church of Christ. You're in the class called His Hands, His Feet, and His Voice. And what the class is going to be about, just kind of some of the work that we're doing in Costa Mesa and trying to be the hands, feet, and voice of Jesus. I just want to thank everyone for being here. I've got a lot of people from the church, from several churches that I've been to. Thank you. Very, very, very much. The check's in the mail for all of you for coming. I remember Mike Cope emailed me, asked me if I would speak and teach a class at the lectureship. And I was just like excited, like a little kid who just won the World Series, you know. And but then I got to thinking, now I got to study for a change, you know. So I had to actually do some work on this. But then I was wondering when my class was going to be. Gotta tell you, I was a little disappointed that it's on not one of the main speakers, but I'm going to have a talk with Mike and Frank, can you stand up and kind of turn around? I'm going to have Frank next with me when I go talk to Mike Cope about next year's, you know, schedule for when I will be speaking. So, and let Mike Cope know that Frank knows people in Texas as well. So, But when I got it in the mail, that was going to be Friday at 3:30, and that's good. I'm excited. But then someone told me, well, you know, that's nap time. Everyone's tired from the lectureship, right? How many of you guys are kind of, right? I'm worn out. 8 o'clock this morning, I'm trying to stay awake in class, and it was difficult for me. And so it's been a long day for everyone. And my computer just died, so that makes me nervous. But I think, you know, that's not too bad. At least you didn't schedule me at 10:30 on Friday night. So that's good as well. But I'm just excited to be here. Been on a long journey for several years. 4 years ago, I was here at Pepperdine. I had just gotten fired. My first preaching gig in Madera. And don't want to get emotional. But I was up. I was sitting up at the very top of the field house, up in the above the bleachers and the seats. You know, way back in the corner, at the very corner. Pretty much cried through the whole lectureship for 4 days, seeking God out, praying. I thought God was telling me to get out of ministry. You don't belong. You've burned too many bridges. You're too harsh. You're too opinionated. Right? Those of you that know me. So I was really looking to get out of ministry. I actually applied for several secular jobs and thought I had one lined up. But God put on my heart and says, you know, someday you'll be back here speaking. So, in answer to prayer. God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? Yeah. And I think when you just try to do what God wants you to do, he'll bless that. And that's kind of what we're going to really talk about today. Just doing what God has called us to do as a church and as individuals, God will bring a blessing to that. So before we get started, let's just have a prayer. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity. For all the friends here. Just pretty overwhelming. So thank you. But more importantly, Father, we just want to ask you for your presence to be here. We thank you for your love and your grace and your kindness and definitely your patience with us. Father, may we be a body of believers, that is, your hands, your feet, and a voice in a broken world. May we be the church that you've called us to be. And may we stop playing church. Stop putting labels on people. And just seeing them as they truly are. Your creation. Who you love so deeply. So be with us. Be with us in this class. And give me words of remembrance to what to say. It may be from the heart. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, get all that emotional junk out of the way. All right? I'm at the Costa Mesa Church of Christ, which is about an hour and 20 minutes south of here. We're a small congregation. We've been averaging between 70 and 80 over since the first of the year. We're trying to think outside the box. We have gone to an alternative service on Saturday nights where we do an instrumental service. And between the two services combined, and you take out some of the people that go to both services, we're averaging anywhere between, you know, 70 and 80 members. We were at about between 50 and 60 when I got there. We have lost some, mainly probably because of me and what we're doing and how we're doing it. And I definitely don't take glory in that. It hurts me deeply, you know, that we've lost, you know, people that feel they can need to go someplace else, you know, because of that. But our main goal is to reach a lost community. Our community is 53% Hispanic. We live in a kind of a mixed neighborhood. All around our church is apartments and kind of low-income housing. But then you cross the street and you got homes that start off at $500,000. And then just down the street, they start off at about $1 million and $2 million. So we have a really diverse type of community in which we live in. We also have a very large homeless population in Costa Mesa. They like the weather. We're very close to the beach. And we have a lot of resources in Costa Mesa for our homeless community. There's several hundred probably in Costa Mesa. We really can't get an accurate count. We've actually tried to do what they call a U-count. We partnered up with Vanguard University and try to count how many homeless people that you have. So we get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and drive around the neighborhood and see if we can count, you know, the homeless. And it's not always accurate, but I'd say we're probably pretty close to 200 or so in that community. The church in Costa Mesa has been serving our, I like to call them our community friends. I don't like to call them homeless because I don't like putting labels on people. I think we put labels on people without even knowing them, and we really need to get away from that. I hadn't served a homeless community before in my experience in ministry. I've done Celebrate Recovery, if anyone's familiar with that. It's a recovery program for hurts, habits, and hang-ups, and that was a passion that God put on my heart. And so it has really helped, I think, in the ministry in which we have here at Costa Mesa. But we've been serving our community friends for 30 years. We didn't have a whole lot of success in doing that, in the sense of them coming to Christ, their salvation, they're coming to church, coming to Bible study, and giving back, and getting back on their feet, and moving forward. But we did create, I think, a lot of good friendships, and I got a lot of good relationships over those 30 years. We have people that come every Tuesday night. They've been coming for 10, 15 years, you know, to the church. And it's been a true blessing, I know, to me and to a lot of our members. We're going to show a video a little bit later. It's 8 minutes and 22 seconds. And it's an interview with those that we have reached out to. We currently have, Mark, can you leave the room for a minute? He's one of our leaders. He always asks, well, John, how many do you have staying at the church? Okay. We have 8. Okay. We got 8 people staying at the church.
You notice that now. I don't want a preacher count. I want
to. Because God keeps on sending us people, you know, and it's hard to turn them down. But we do, every Tuesday night, probably get 3 or 4 people say, hey, can we stay at your church? Can we stay at your church? Our average age is 65 to 70 years old in our congregation. So then when you open up and have people come and stay, and you're opening up your church for homeless or community friends to stay, that's a big shock. I don't know of too many churches that do that. Do you? That actually let people stay in your building. I got one gentleman, won't mention any names, Frank, that sleeps in our sound booth. I got someone sleeps in a shed. Someone that sleeps in the storage containers. couple people that sleep in one classroom downstairs, and a couple more sleep in a couple classrooms upstairs. And we've been doing this now for about a year. And the way that happened was, I got a phone call one Sunday afternoon about 3:30. Just got home from church and preaching and having lunch, and a gentleman from Stockton, California, said, "Hey, I got a friend, a mother daughter, who basically found themselves homeless. They're living in a car. They transferred down from Palm Springs to Costa Mesa, and the daughter had a full scholarship to Vanguard University, which is a Christian college. And she didn't want to live in the dorm by herself, so she wanted mom to come down. So her mom transferred her job down to Costa Mesa. They got the U-Haul all packed up. They show up to the apartment complex, and the landlord says, "Sorry, we meant to call you a couple weeks ago. Your credit isn't that good. You need either $3,000 cash or a cosigner." Homeless. Just like that. So for 2 weeks, they're living in hotels. They put their stuff in a shed, but they're running out of money. They don't know what to do. In the meantime, she calls her boss and says, "Hey, I don't have a place to live. I got to take care of this." He says, "Well, you don't have a place to live. You don't have a job." So now, not only is she home, she's now out of a job. And she doesn't have drug or alcohol problems or any of that kind of issue. She's just someone that's just a divorced mom that finds herself living in a car. And see, she was kind of having a little bit of a nervous breakdown. So this guy from Stockton class said, "Well, how'd you get my name?" He says, "Well, I graduated from the Bear Valley School of Preaching. I called them. Someone there knew me and said, 'Call John, and could you talk to her?'" It just happened that the week before, a friend of mine that I've known for years just came back from New Zealand, Mr. Jim and Marilyn back there. He had to go pick up his dad's 28-foot fifth wheel, and he had no place to put it. "Well, put it on the church property." "Hey, Jim, how'd you like mom and dad, a mom and a daughter to come stay in your trailer?" And I had to go by the leadership. "Just for a short while, okay, you know, we'll do this." So they stayed in the trailer. But I didn't want them staying in the church parking lot by themselves for security reasons. Thus comes Frank. He covers security pretty well. Got to know Frank from Tuesday nights, visiting with him and talking to him and talking to other people about Frank. And I said, "Hey, Frank, how would you like to come park your van and live in your van at the church and kind of keep an eye on these two ladies?" And that's how it all began. It's really all Frank's fault that we have 10 people, because Frank was saying, "Hey, I got a couple over here. You know, he needs an operation. He's got no place to stay. I got this guy over here that needs this. They're good people." And we've fluctuated between 8 and 13 people. But they give back to the church more than a lot of people within the church. I never had to ask them to do any of the work. So they've been a blessing to us, and the video will point that out. I didn't want to go to Costa Mesa. Matter of fact, I told them, three people that asked me, said, "John, you need to go to Costa Mesa. You know, they're looking for a preacher." I said, "No." My wife got a text or Facebook or something, and she deleted it. She didn't even respond. She didn't even tell me till later on. "You're not going there, John." You know, when you've been hurt, you get gunshot. If you've been in ministry, you get gunshot. And we just didn't want to be hurt again. And I didn't want to play church. You know what I mean by playing church? Coming to church, showing up, doing the same thing. I was done with that. And I wanted to be the church. So I actually tried to talk them out of hiring me. That's smart. I was up here at Pepperdine. And one of the ladies that said, "Hey, come to Costa Mesa," we told her no. She said, no, it's okay. Talk to Mark. So I talked to Mark a little bit. He goes, "Oh, you need to talk to this guy." So for an hour and a half, I'm up here during the lectureship trying to talk him out of hiring me, because I'm not your typical CSC guy. I love our heritage. I love our tradition. But I'm done playing church. I want to make a difference. So they hired me. They said, "We know we need to change. We just don't know how. And we want you to come and show us how." If anyone's gone through change in a church, it's not easy, is it? It's very, very, very difficult. And as I'm getting older, I find it's harder to change some of my ways along here. They really did want to change, but they didn't know the how, and I kind of showed them the how, and they don't like the how. We don't. We don't like whatever it is. It doesn't matter what I've done. We wouldn't have liked the how, you know. But I think we're heading in the right direction now. I think we're understanding our mission statement at Costa Mesa is pretty simple. Love God, love others, and serve a broken world. I think if we can do those three things as a church, as a body of Christ, I think we can do pretty well, don't you? I think God will really bless that, and He has blessed that. He's blessed it over and over. We're trying to do what James says here. He talks about in verse chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing fine clothes and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' and you say, 'Say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my footstool.' Have you not judged distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives?" And I've seen that happen in the church. Has anyone seen that happen in church? Very seldom do we get homeless people just walking into our church. But we've seen people who are kind of different, dress different than us, have tattoos, weird colored hair, earrings, all that kind of stuff. And I've seen them come into the church, and they'll be nice to them when they walk through the door. Hi, glad you're here. But they don't talk to them afterwards. They just completely ignore them, and they're like cockroaches. They're gone. We're trying not to do that. We try to look at each individual is the way that God looks at us, His creation. Every one of us is broken. When we came to Jesus, how many of you had your act together? And said, and then God spoke out, "Okay, Vicky, you're so awesome. Come and be a Christian," right? Each one of us have been a mess. And some of us still are a mess, right? I know I am. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5 that why we were sinners, ungodly enemies, with no hope and helpless, that's when God loved us, right? I think we've forgotten that as a church. I think if you've grown up in the church, you've been in the church for a long time, we forget where we came from and who we were before we came to Christ. We forget about that amazing experience when you come out of the baptistry. And you know you're clean, you know you're cleansed, you know you're new. And you don't know what to do, right? But you know you're new. You know that past is gone and over with. And over time, we end up playing church. And we look past people rather than at them. There's a great video on YouTube about where they've got these people who dress up homeless. And they set them out on the street. And then they have their friends or their relatives who walk down those streets all the time, walk by them. They don't tell them that they've got a relative or a friend that's dressed homeless, and they want to see. And you got husbands and wives, mothers and fathers and friends walking right by the people that they live with. They don't even see them. And that's what we do with our homeless community. But not only them, I think we do it with a lot of people, our neighbor. We just walk right by people, don't we? We're so focused on what we're doing and what our life is at, we don't see the woman sitting on the bench. Might not be homeless, might just be waiting for the bus. And you look at her face, and she's tired. She's worn out. As we get older, you go to the doctors, right? Anyone been to the doctors lately? Right? Isn't that fun, sitting in the waiting room? But you sit in the waiting room, and you look at the person next to you, and they're anxious because they're going to get the results back from the biopsy. And you know they're scared. And we sit there. And we don't go over and talk to them. We just look right by them. So what we're talking about today is not just our community friends about homelessness. It's about how we look at people everywhere. Isn't it? I think we need to stop and just look at people and not look at their labels of who they are, whether they're dressed good, whether they're homeless and or they're rich and they're doing well. We look at people as created in the image of God. And we have compassion for them. And we have compassion for those that are hurting, that need some good news, just like we needed some good news in our life, right? And so that's what we're trying to do along the way. We're not trying to show favoritism. We're not trying to say, hey, we've got our act together. We're in church. You need to follow us. You need to come, straighten up, dress up before you can come. We said, we're just going to take you exactly where you're at. If you smell a little bit, your hair's out of place, right? Who cares? But we've also got to remember that when they do come in through our doors, they're pretty scared. And most of them feel that they don't belong. Our decision is, how are we going to make them feel that they belong in that place? I'm going to pick on Marie right here. Love Marie. Came Christian about a year ago, right? If you ever need prayer, I'm going to give you her phone number. She is a prayer warrior. She's absolutely amazing. Love the way she prays. But when our congregation is small, but we got everyone spread out all over the place, and most of our community friends tend to sit in the back. And we're saying, come on, sit up front. Her response was, no, that's where the holy people sit. And that's how we feel sometimes, isn't it? When we're broken and we don't feel like we belong, and when you've been on the streets, you don't feel like you belong. You don't feel like everyone wants you because everyone's always walking by you. And they're looking at you, and whether they're looking at you good or bad, we tend to think, once we've been on the streets, that they're looking at us bad. Because that's our immediate reaction. That's what we're used to. And so they get defensive as well. But we judge them sometimes with our eyes and the way we walk by them, the way we ignore them, and they feel that. We need to bring them up and say, no, you come sit right next to me because you are holy too. Amen?
Amen?
We're all holy and blameless and beyond reproach. All because of God, not what we've done. Because of what God did on the cross for you and me. He tells us, don't show partiality. He says, for judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. And mercy triumphs over judgment. We are called to show mercy. We're called to show love. Because we've been loved, we love back. We've received mercy, we give mercy back. We receive grace, we do what? We give grace back. We've been forgiven, what do? We forgive. Easier said than done. But that's what God's called us to be, and that's the kind of church, you know, that we're desiring to be. But we can also do ministries that always don't necessarily help. One of the first questions I got there, started feeding on Tuesday night, was, well, aren't you enabling them? How many feel you're enabling them for feeding them? Anyone? I did. You know, sure, we're just giving them food. They come back every week, and you see no change. I think if we're just feeding them and we're not investing in them and getting to know them, we're enabling them. What we try to do now is sit next to them and talk to them and get to know them. Listen to their story. Everyone has a story, right? You all have a story. And when you look at the gospel, when you look at evangelism, you look at the church, I think we just need three stories to tell. God's story, listen to their story, and then you tell them your story. People want to know why you are there Sunday, why you do what you do, why you believe the way you believe. And I think sometimes what I've experienced is that a lot of us in the church for a long time don't know how to tell our story. We forget what it was like. And a lot, I grew up where you didn't tell your story, right? You don't say a testimony in somebody. You don't tell somebody that, hey, I'm addicted to drugs or alcohol or porn. I'm a wife beater or I'm this, I'm that. And we keep that silent. And so all those people think, where am I going to go? I can't go to church because they're all holy. They're not going to understand me. And yet each and every one of us come from a place of pain and hurt. Don't we? And God's healed that hurt. The God of all comfort has brought his loving grace into us. I want to show the video because I want to give us some time to maybe for questions and answers along the way. So some of the things we do is we feed 120 to 130 every Tuesday. We have 8 people staying at the church building. Some of them have gotten jobs. Some of them, the mother-daughter, they were there for 16 months. And they're both got jobs. The daughter, straight A's through her first year of school. Mom got a second job. They got their own apartment, and they're moving forward. So we're blessed for that. We've had some not successes. We've had some people that we've had to say, it's time to go. Just before I came up here, the day I left, Frank, can you help our friend say goodbye? You know, because he didn't want to follow the rules, you might say. You're going to have some of that. But we try to do it with loving grace and still leave a door and say, look, when you're done and you really want to, you know, come to the Lord and take direction and humble yourself, we're right here for you. And we're going to love you all through that process. And so it's not an easy task. We get about 15 to 20 volunteers every Tuesday night to come help feed our community friends. And some of them are Christians and some of them aren't. Some of them go to other churches. And yet they come on Tuesday because they want to be a part of something. We get a lot of college age that call up and say, hey, I typed up community service and you guys popped up. Can we come down and serve? Come on down. And so we have 3 audiences on Tuesday nights. We have our community friends, we have our volunteers, and we have one another. That's our ministry. It's to love on all 3 of them. And we get to work side by side with our volunteers and get to show them why we do what we do. We do it because we love God and we what?
Love others.
And we want to be of service. We want God just to serve one another. So that has been a blessing tremendously. And we also have a community garden where we build planter boxes out of pallets. And we have a very long property where we have like a bunch of parking spaces in the back. Well, with our numbers, we don't need all that parking spaces. But we want to reach out to our community and create relationships with our community neighbors. And so we end up figuring out how to build these planter boxes out of pallets. And our homeless are building them. Frank, Sal, a bunch of others have come and helped and build these boxes. And we provide the soil and the boxes. They plant whatever they want, as long as it's legal. No medicinal purpose stop yet, right? If we did, we would not have a budget problem. But we could be in really good shape, you know. So, and right now we have, we were up to about 75, 80 boxes. Right now we're about 65. We've had some people drop out and move and all that kind of stuff. But constantly, every week, we're getting people, hey, how do I get one of these? And they're growing. And they give back. And we get to meet our neighbors. And some of our community friends have boxes. And so they get to grow their vegetables. Or sometimes, a lot of them just grow flowers. They just love flowers. It brings joy. You know, it brings happiness. It brings life, you know. And so they get to be a part of something that they get to bring life to, rather than constantly being beaten up and run down. And so we've got, we're part of the Homeless Coalition for Costa Mesa. We are not zoned to house the people. Well, City of Costa Mesa doesn't hear this, we're okay. But people on the Homeless Task Force for Costa Mesa call us up and say, hey, I have someone that needs a place to stay. I got a woman who was just mugged and raped in a church parking lot in Costa Mesa. She's a mess. She just got out of the hospital for 4 days. She's got no place to go. She's got a dog, and we have 3 dogs on the property. And I know that can be kind of tough, but we always say the church is not the building. The church is us, right? And it's just a building, just a place we come to meet. But when you try to do something at the building, no, you can't do that. We're trying to change that culture where the church is just a building. We say everything that we have is God's, right? But then do we really use that for God? Are we really using the building
for God? Or is it just a place that we can come, feel warm and comfortable, and look, we got ourselves a building? God says, everything you've got is mine. Are we going to use it to His glory, or are we going to keep this as a monument? It's just a building, folks. We have people who said, hey, what about the carpet? What about the bathrooms? What about the pews? I say, tear up the carpet, tear up the pews. People are more important to carpet and pews, don't you think? And it's been a tough road to get to that point along the way. But we just want to be the hands, feet, and voice of Jesus. And I think what James says, when you see someone hungry and in need of clothes, and when he says, go in peace and be warm and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? What use is our faith if we don't put our faith into action? If we aren't helping people that are hurting, or are we just looking beyond people? What use is your faith? If it's just for you to come on Wednesdays and Sundays, to come to a Bible class and listen to a sermon, what use is your faith? And I'm trying to ask that question every day. John, what use is your faith today? How are you blessing other people today? How are you being the hands, feet, and voice of Jesus today? The challenge what we're going to have is, I love coming to Pepperdine. I get all pumped up. I get all excited coming up from the mountaintop, and then you got to go down to the world and say, okay, now what? And you run into opposition. And then you start getting comfortable and doing the same thing over and over again. I got to remind myself, John, what use is it of your faith? We're going to show the video, and what I'm sure you might have some questions along the way. Sorry about the way I looked. They didn't have enough makeup to make me look good. So that's kind of where we're at. No.
Gary.
Okay.
Gave me the ability to breathe.
Okay,
gotta
go.
To not walk in fear.
Is it not up there?
And begin to put one
foot
in front of the other. So I could begin to put my leg
over the other. Not yet? Nope, wrong one. Go back. Go back.
That was fun, huh? You got that now?
Still works. That's a different one. Put it on the wall.
I have this. Is it the
my classroom earlier, I had it from your computer. I did it from your computer.
Oh, okay.
So I have mine timed out. It messed up earlier.
Is it in?
Yeah, it's in now.
It says PC, how about that?
I might be able to go grab something if you'd like.
You might need to, yeah. These technical things.
Oh, looks like they got somebody.
It's okay? Yeah. We had it earlier.
I'm not sure which one.
mute and screen up.
Yeah, you ever sing a song? All come forward.
Gary, you bring the light on?
You got it?
It's on.
All right. So?
It's coming.
It might just need to sync again.
Oh, that's the overhead.
It was a really good video, trust me. There we go.
Okay.
All right. Sorry. Maybe dim the light in the back.
Turn off the light.
Over here.
Okay.
Turn off the front light.
Oh, we have no sound now.
Turn the sound up on the computer.
It is.
To not walk in fear. It gave me a safe place to fall and begin to put one foot in front of the other so I could begin to put my life together.
When Jesus sent out his disciples, he didn't send them out to the kings, to the people of prominence, of wealth, the high society people. He said, go and take care of the poor. Take care of those that are diseased and that are sick, that are homeless.
We moved here from the desert. We thought we had a place to live, and within like 3 days, we ended up homeless and very destitute.
My life on the street was pretty rough, not knowing where my next meal was coming from. Not knowing what avenue to take.
It was a constant threat and fear of assault. No rest, harassed, nowhere to sleep.
Take care of those that are hurting, that are in pain, that are lost, and that are wandering. And that's how we have to look at each and every individual.
Me and my folks, we didn't communicate. It was do this, do that. But you'll get beat for it.
Drinking, drugging, because that would keep me awake. It was just terrible.
I think the streets is much better than my own life.
It was not good at all. It was not good at all.
Try to look beyond the labels of homelessness or they're of this demographic or that demographic. We try to look at them as God's creation. One of the things we want to do as a church is really be the church and not play church. It's easy to come and feed people and to give them a plate, but the real challenge is going beyond that and getting to know and invest in the people that come to get help, to be fed. And so we want to invest in their lives.
Without the church, Frank was a mess. He was a knucklehead doing what he wanted to do. They didn't think much about hurting others, but then the church has given me back, Frank, who's before you this time.
The Lord has sent us people from the community who are homeless and who needed shelter, but we could give them shelter, and so we have tried to do that.
What it has done for me is to take care of myself, to catch my breath, not looking over my shoulder, somewhere to make a meal, and praying for God's will to be done. He brought us people in the community that needed a roof over their head, that needed food to eat. They helped us all the way through it with support, prayers, you know, just advice, everything that a friend and family would help you with.
They are people here that want to serve and do serve, and yet they seem so thankful, so grateful, so appreciative of what they have.
I got here within 30 days. I was already on my way to apply for my green card, Social Security, just taking care of, going to the doctor, taking care of me. I never did that.
It's comforting, and that helps a lot. It's settling me down in order for me to work out myself.
I'm dealing with the grief that I've never dealt with, and losing family members. I'm dealing just with me, being able to deal with me, and the church has given me, afforded me that, to be able to work on me now.
And we believe by helping them get off the streets and helping them catch their breath and helping them get healthy physically, emotionally, and definitely spiritually, we are being the hands and feet of Jesus. But also the voice is coming in because we always bring the word of God.
So the church has done a lot for me. It's given me shelter. It's given me a place to eat. It's given me a place of peace.
The people that are staying here, they have grown so much as children of God. They've learned to love here. They've learned that God is a great replacement for their addictions. For me, they're teachers. I have learned a lot, not only from them, but about myself.
You've been praying for the Lord to send people, and He sent them. You just don't recognize it.
When I ask the question, everybody that I've encountered is always, always willing to help and make sure that I understand, and they don't leave me until I do, and that sometimes takes a long time.
So over the last 2 years since I've been here, we've baptized several of our homeless community friends, and they've been coming to church, and they're giving back.
Get myself back in a position to give back to the people that need help.
Without God in my life, I'd still be out there running amok. But because I have God in my life again, there's nothing that I can't do.
It is just wonderful to watch them grow.
I would sincerely believe that God is blessing this, that this is God's will more than them being blessed. I have been blessed, and my family has grown.
I learned more about love, grace, and forgiveness from our folks that are staying here than from a lot of people in the church.
I am just so glad that I've gotten to know those that God has sent us. I pray that we can serve them in the way that we need to, and that we will appreciate the way they bless us. I have truly been blessed by them.
I have some hope. Hope is such a big thing. When you don't have hope, you're filled with despair, and it destroys people's lives.
We are all redeemable, every single person.
Our future is very bright, thanks to this church and their program.
I'm a child of God, and He's going to use me to further His plan. I don't know what it is, but I just have to pay attention.
What better gift than to give back? That's where I'm at today, is giving back.
We need your help in providing housing for our community friends, to help them get off the streets, to help provide a place for them to get healthy physically, to get healthy emotionally and mentally, but also to get healthy spiritually. So we're looking at trying to purchase a transition house where their healing can take place. And we can be a part and partner with God to help change the lives of people and their salvation and their future.
Folks are here. Vicky, she's not homeless, but she comes and volunteers and takes our closet. We get a lot of clothes, and so she helps sort through all the clothes and everything like that. She's more of a hassle than the homeless, but we got Frank and Sal. We don't have all the answers, but we believe God has answered a lot of our prayers. Comments, news, rebuttals, questions? Yes,
Marilyn. Another thing that we do, we show a movie every Tuesday night, and it's
especially those long winter nights, is somewhere where they can come and have warmth after they eat.
They can just get out of the elements. One of the things why we want to do this transitional housing is, when you're out on the streets for any length of time, just a couple days, your body starts breaking down, physically, then emotionally, and definitely spiritually and mentally. And so they need a place where they can come and just breathe. We need that sometimes, don't we? But especially when you're on the street, you don't know where you're going to live. For the women, it's very dangerous out there. Like I said, they're getting beat up. The guys get beat up. They get their stuff stolen. I can't tell you how many backpacks we've replaced from people getting stolen and blankets and all that kind of stuff. It's a rough element. So we want them to come and catch their breath and they start healing physically. Then they start thinking better. They start the doors are then open for the Word of God to come to them. And I know this is the homeless. Our focus is on the homeless. But you know, if we're in Idaho, in the middle of farm country, we're probably not going to have a homeless, ministry. But there's people hurting in Idaho. Believe it or not, there's people hurting in Newport Beach and Newport Harbor, which is very multi-million dollar homes. We just got to see how we're going to walk by them and see them and engage with them. So this, you guys might not have I want to go do a homeless ministry. But we ain't got any homeless, you know? But we do have hurting people, don't we, in this world. And what they want more than anything, what they need more than anything is just love and grace. They need to know that people care about them, that they're not just a body that we're going to walk by. And so the question is, what use is it when it comes to our faith? Are we going to let it show? Are they going to see the hands, feet, and voice of Jesus when they meet us, individually and collectively as a church? And I think when we do that as a body of Christ, because he calls us to be the body of Christ, does he not? Church is the body of Christ. We are his hands, his feet, and his voice. We've got to bring the Word of God with them. But let's do it with love and grace as much as possible. Anybody have other questions? I'm sorry, Marie.
I just wanted to tell you that we love you. And we're so proud of you.
where would you look to buy this transitional home?
Where do you live? Is it Canyon Lake or is it? We still want to establish in Costa Mesa.
I would think
Yeah. And so we are really kicking the tires. I don't really want to say kind of say what we're doing because we really don't know yet. We're talking to Kairos. We're talking to. We've got a nonprofit that's come alongside and hear what we're doing. They want to partner with us, even help us build a place or build it on our property. Because we have a lot of property, we could possibly do it there if we get some partners to do that. We're looking at maybe it's a residential somewhere in Costa Mesa, close by the church, so we still have that connection. We don't want them on one side of the town
right.
And us on the other. We've even looked at remodeling our upstairs at our church. We have a bathroom and shower that's all ready to go in there. We just got to build it. You know how many of you have church buildings that you have two or three phases to? And you never get beyond phase one. Well, we've kind of been like that. In phase two, there was, bathrooms for upstairs and never been out. We just kind of discovered that. And so one of the things is, maybe we do it there. And then we talk to the city and say, hey, ease the zoning laws and do something like that if we don't go another route along the way. Our mission is the mission of God, is to bring the gospel to anyone. We don't focus on just the homeless. Like I said, the volunteers that are coming, some of those pictures, one of the ladies with the lettuce, she just started coming to the Costa Mesa volunteer for the city of Costa Mesa. I ran into her at one of the meetings and said, come on, come join us. And she's been with us for almost a year now, her and her husband. And they come, not every Tuesday, but almost every Tuesday, and they just love it. And we get the love on them. They've come to church a couple times. We're still trying to build that bridge. And so God just opened up doors.
Was it Alpha Kappa from UTI?
Yes, we have UCI. We have a fraternity that comes. You saw the boys, the Asian boys that were cutting the hair. They're from a fraternity at UC Irvine. They come maybe once a month. There'll be 10, 15 of them. And say, hey, we just want to serve. And they do this on a regular basis. That trailer that you saw where the guy was going like this, that's a shower. You can do two showers there. So every Wednesday morning, we provide showers for we average between 20 to 25 showers every Wednesday. When you're out on the streets, you got no place to shower. You got no place to do clothes. There's another church on Saturdays that they have a trailer with seven washers and seven dryers. So we're working with other churches too, and we're creating some really good relationships. We're trying to solve homelessness not just by the Coastal Mesa Church of Christ, but we're trying to partner with other churches and other resources together to make a difference into our community along the way. Jim and then Marilyn.
We can't help all of them, but we can invest and help some and get those on the road. It is a daunting picture when you look at it, but individually you can help people on the road. So you don't have to take on the whole cow, just a little bit at a time, and you'll be able to finish it. But and we're still open for suggestions or anything that would help us along the way. It's an awesome ministry.
How long ago was it you were grieving at Pepper Dam?
4 years ago.
And so 4 years later, on a Friday afternoon,
I'm here
standing in the room to hear
God is good. A lot of people from, most of the people from churches where I've been at, they don't let me stay at a church too long. So,
we cried and cried for weeks. We still cry when we go home. You're not going anywhere this time.
I think one of the points, though, is that we can be the hands and feet, the voice, wherever we are.
Wherever we are.
Each of us knows someone that just buy them lunch, if they're standing on a street corner, go to Burger King and pick up some lunch and take it back.
The thing is, listen to the story. No matter who you, whether they're homeless or not, listen to people's story. Listen to their hurt. And their pain. And let God use you to minister to them, to tell you, so you can tell your story on how God has redeemed and restored you. And that's what we're about as a church, as a people, right? It's telling how God has redeemed us and that there's hope. Cindy, your words, that everyone is what? Redeemable. And I just love that line. Gary put the video, he did all the videoing. We had a friend of ours that did the editing. And all that kind of stuff. I just kept on saying cut. But, I just like the director position. But I thank you very much for coming.
You're in the great job of church if y'all are.